you weren't here last Sunday, you wouldn't know a clue what that's about. But amen. Amen. All right, take your Bibles this evening to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. We have been looking for several weeks at this precious book that we hold in our hands, the Word of God. And I thought we'd jump into some history tonight, but it's not. The Lord led me here. I really believe we need to get a hold of what the Lord showed me here in Nehemiah chapter 8 before we dive into the history of what God's given us in the Word of God. And we'll see some things here tonight, and we'll say more about it as we go. We've looked on Sunday mornings at the fact that we have a pure Word of God. Again, the word pure means without any mixture. Amen. We have the pure Word of God. Well, preacher, was that in the original? Sure is. But we got it in your hands too. Well, it's not the originals. We talked about the originals and how the Lord worked through that. And so we know we have a pure book and we have a preserved book. Amen. And God is preserving His Word. And I'm not having to worry about preserving it. I just have to worry about reading it and studying it. We have a preserved word. Then we looked at the authority of the Word of God. And that's where we've got to get back to. I was talking to Michael this afternoon after we was eating lunch, and we was talking about the message and how some things we looked at in the Bible. And again, about the authority in people today. It's very hard to deal with people today because they have no thought of the Bible. It used to be you could talk to somebody, a lost person, and you could give them things about the Bible, and they'd be receptive to the Word of God. People today do not even care. The Bible means pretty much nothing to them. But we as a church, the only thing we're going to hold on to, we don't hold on to our doctrinal statement, but we should because it's simple Bible. That's what our doctrinal statement is. It's just the Word of God, and we just spelled out some things there. We don't stand to some creed. We don't stand on some organization. All of our authority is on the Word of God. What saith the Scriptures? So the importance of the Word of God. That's where our heart's been. That's what has just really been on our heart again, knowing in the day and time we live in, people just do not understand. There's so many perversions around about us. And again, just to draw our mind together, that pure, that preserved, that authoritative Word of God, as according to Matthew there, that you know, heavens and earth will pass away. But the Word of God will never, never pass away. And I'm thankful this evening that we have the Word of God. Where will we be tonight without the Word of God? And let me read some quotes. I like to read quotes from time to time. And I found some just dealing with the Word of God. One preacher said, the Scriptures are our letters from home. Our letters from home. And I know we don't think much about now. I don't know who. I mean, I carry a cell phone. Sometimes I try to give it away, and I seem like I'm on it more than I'd like to be. But it amazes me. We were standing out here holding signs. About 95% of the people going down the road is talking to somebody. It's like, who are they talking to? I mean, I just don't have enough people I know that talks to me all the time. But, you know, we're always but I can't help every time I think about a letter from home. I can't help but think about men back in World War I, World War II, Vietnam era. My goodness, to get a letter from home, and they did mail call, and they called your name, and you had a stack of letters. Buddy, I bet you just didn't read it one time, throw it in the trash. I bet you held that thing, you read every word, you looked at it, you smelled it. And I believe, praise the Lord, if we'd understand the book that God's given us and realize that God has written something to us, we ought to be that kind of way with it, that we want to read every letter of it. It wouldn't be just a burden to read the Bible, amen? It'd be something we want to caress it, we want to get a hold of it, we'd love it, we'd smell. I love smelling new Bibles, that's just, you know, something I like to do. I mean, the Word of God, there's something about it. But he said the Scriptures are our letters from home. Martin Luther said this, the Bible, I like this, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold on me. That's the Word of God. John Bunyan said this, says, I never knew all there was in the Bible until I spent those years in jail. I was constantly finding new treasures. What have you found lately? George Mueller said this, that the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. Now let me read that again, because if you don't read it and get a hold of it, you miss it. The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our lives and thoughts. You're never going to be more than what you put in this book. You need the Word of God. Spurgeon said this, Nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. Well, preacher, I read the Bible through one time. Why'd you stop? Well, I've read it 10 times. If you really did that, and I hope you have, if you really did that, I bet every time you read it, you saw something new. Robert E. Lee said this, in all my perplexities and distress, and I would think Robert Lee would have had some perplexities and distress, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. Grant said this, hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of our liberties. Write its precepts in your hearts and practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for all progress made in true civilization, and to this we must look as our guide in the future. Woodrow Wilson said, I am sorry for the men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder why they deprive themselves of the strength and the pleasure of the Word of God. I thought, how true. Dwight Eisenhower said, the Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom, reality, and hope. Ronald Reagan, I'll finish with this. Ronald Reagan said this, I never had any doubt about it being of divine origin. Point out to me any similar collection of writings that has lasted for as many thousands of years and is still a bestseller worldwide. It had to be a divine origin. The Word of God. And that's tonight. Again, we've looked at several things dealing with the Word of God. And we're going to begin probably next Sunday night looking at some historical parts of the Word of God. Because God, just again, didn't one day come out of heaven and hand out a book. There's a way that it got from point A to point B, and a lot of things happened in between. And we want to look at some of that this evening. So we'll look at that probably next week. But tonight, I really want to get a hold of this and just try to encourage our hearts this evening. Let's stand here in Nehemiah chapter 8. Out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this evening. When you come to chapter 8 here, chapter 8 of Nehemiah is a major changing place here in the book of Nehemiah. Up to this place, we see the reconstruction as the Nehemiah and those men have come back to the city and found it in distress and destruction, and they've been in a building process, physically building. And now they come here to Nehemiah chapter 8, and they've switched from the physical aspects of building to a spiritual life building place in their life. And it wasn't with a hoe or a rake or a shovel or a hammer. But we'll see here tonight what the Word of God did here in Nehemiah chapter 8 is God does something here for these folks. And I believe it's something we need to get a hold of tonight. Look, we're going to read the entire chapter together this evening. Just get the whole gist of it. It says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now listen. Some of y'all had a hard time staying here a little long this morning. I don't understand why we come to church ready to get out of church. I really don't. Well, preacher, we got to get home. What's at home that you need so bad? If God really meant what you say, there shouldn't be a hurry to get away from Him. Really. Now, not everybody was. I was enjoying myself. I've been to Brother, I'm Virginia. What's his name? Brother, what was his name? He's been here. Yeah, Brother Farmer, my soul. I've sat and listened to him, and he's preached an hour and a half, and then he starts saying, well, this will be the last point. And I'm thinking, well, don't stop now. It's just getting really good. Don't stop now. But here's a group of people that desired, bring the book. We want to hear from God. And he reads, look, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, this is verse 3, from the morning until midday. And they stood. Now, let's try that this evening. I'm going to read from now till 10 o'clock. Can you stand that long? No. Most of you would leave and vote me out by next Sunday. What's wrong with us? I said us. Don't look at it and say, oh, the preacher's being mean to me. No, I'm saying us. These folks said, hey, we want something from God. Bring the book. They didn't say bring this promotion. They didn't say bring, and listen, I love music. Some of y'all don't think I do. I really do. I listen to a lot of music, good music. And we got good music here. Let me be ugly. It's in my blood tonight, it seems like. I know people that drive halfway across the country to go hear some group singing for their bus, and they won't even go to church just down the road. What's wrong with us? We've lost our joy for this book. And that's what I see here in Nehemiah chapter 8, is I see a joy for the Word of God. Look again, verse number 3. Says, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They wasn't doodling on their doodle pads. They wasn't cutting their fingernails. They wasn't picking their nose. They were attentive. Men, women, and children. Your children can learn to be in church. Yeah. Well, they just can't. When are you going to teach them? Well, preacher, I don't want them to bother you. Trust me, they won't bother me. If I can't out preach a screaming youngin, I need to learn to preach a little better. But look at verse 3, last part. And all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And besides, it's amazing what we can learn right here of what we have in front of us. A pulpit? Where did that word come from? There he is. Preacher, why do you make us stand up? I don't make you stand up. I ask you to stand up. Why? We'll see it here. They stood. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Messiah. On his right hand, on his left hand, Padiah and Amishah. Who are these folks? I ain't got a clue. I can't even say their names good. But they were there, amen. And God saw fit to tell me they was there. And Malchiah and Hashem and Hasbadana and Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now let me, I don't know what's wrong with me. Pray for me. Did you see what they just did? Go get the book. They go get the book. They walk out there and he gets that book, and they build him a pulpit, and he gets up on that pulpit, and he's above all the people. And when he opened the book, the people are like, oh. I see Bibles stowed in the pew that ain't touched for a week. I see Bibles stowed in the back glass of a car. Bibles, I clean up in here and find Bibles that people have wrote in. I mean, I write in my Bible. I write notes. I ain't drawing Snoopy in it. Bibles tore because you let your children tear them. When he stood up with that book and he opened that book, I can just imagine those people. And it wasn't just a few. I'm talking thousands. When he stood up and that book was open, it was like, God himself had just stepped up on the scene. How important is your book? Do you just throw it around like it ain't nothing? Oh, this book, the importance of the Word of God. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen. Amen. With lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What did they do? They didn't got started good yet. They're praising. Hey, preacher, why you raise your hand every once in a while? I'm just lifting some hands up to the Lord. Why you say amen? I'm just in agreement with the Word of God. That's what they're doing. He blessed the Lord. Verse 7, Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akaba and Sabbathai and Hojai and Tom, Dick, and Harry. And I mean, they're not in there, but Messiah and Kiltiah and Azariah and Josbab and Hanani and Peli and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Teachers, what did it say right there? Cause the people to understand the law. Teaching. Here, do you see this? And notice again, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly. Didn't just skim it. Distinctly they read and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Aren't you glad you got a Bible that you can read? Now here we have a priest that stood and proclaimed the Word of God, and they taught the Word of God. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit of God that directs our hearts as you read, as you study, as you walk daily through the Bible? You don't need me in your house. You don't need some other man. You got God Himself saying, look here, son. Look there, son. That's what we got today. Much better, according to Hebrews. And Nehemiah verse 9 says, which is the Tirshai and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood these words, or the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, and the priests and the Levites and the Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mountain, fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and set unto the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, to the day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, again for the good day. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I pray again, God, tonight we wouldn't just be hearers of the Word. I pray tonight, God, that you do a stirring in our souls this evening. God, put something in our hearts that we would desire this book more and more. Give us a hunger, God, for the truth, the Word of God. Help it find that place in our lives, God, daily. God, as we walk, as we teach, as we study, as we work, as we try to be a minister in these days, God. Lord, you know the needs of the hour. God, you know every heart, every family here. God, we just ask you once again to do your will in our lives, God. And we pray again, Lord, that you'll receive all the honor and all the glory. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated now. Amen. I'll let you off quick. I didn't make you stand about 10 minutes. Here again in Nehemiah chapter 8, we see something, a changing in the mind. If you go back, and again, we don't have time to run through the first 7 chapters there. Again, we see something happen right here in the midst. They were laboring. They were working. They had done great work there trying to get the city put back together. And listen, there's so many people, and again, we have laborers, and we've talked about it so many times, a lot of our laborers are getting old, amen? And we need some new blood to get in behind here, the labor to get in here and do something for the Lord. But even as we labor, just because you're laboring doesn't mean that your relationship with the Lord and the Word of God is what it ought to be. Even as teachers, sometimes we get bogged down in our studies. Even as preachers, sometimes we'll catch ourselves reading, trying to find another, the next sermon or this or that. I'm telling you this evening that what I see here, what God showed me here in Nehemiah chapter 8 is a great revival, a great rejoicing. And what I desire for myself and what I believe God desires for us tonight as we look at the Word of God, that we would find a place once again of joy back in the Word of God. It ought to be joy when we open up this book. There ought to be joy when you get to come to church and sit in front of a preacher. It ought to be joy when you stand before a class and get to proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord God." It ought to be joy when you get up in the choir and sing about the Word of God. There ought to be joy when you sit in a class and hear the truth from a teacher that studied. Hey, where's our joy with the Word of God? And that's what we see here with these people. They had labored. They had worked. They were tired. They were been through a lot. And here they come bringing the book. Oh, that we'd have a desire in our country again for the book. That's what I see here this evening. I read a little illustration. I thought, this is cute. And I see, when we were working camp, and I told my wife, I think I've outgrown camp. Finally, I'm too old. But we go to camp, and man, you spend the first couple of days, especially teen camp, junior camp, you sort of endured the week because you had to take them to the bathroom. They couldn't do nothing for themselves. But teen camp's a little different. It was a lot of fun. But the first couple of days of teen camp is a purging because, you know, they don't have their cell phones. They don't have their video games. They don't have their TV. And they're getting preached 2, 3, or 4 times a day. And after that first or second day, buddy, it starts getting good, man. It starts, I mean, and there's times we've got in there a morning chapel and God show up and we would stay all day. We didn't even stop for lunch. This preacher after preacher just getting up there, God was touching, and the teenagers, oh, surely not. Oh, yeah, I've seen it more than once. And then, boy, the week gets gooder and gooder, and Friday comes, and we have to go home, and we come back, and by next Sunday, they got back into their routine of the world, and Mom and Daddy says, "That's all right, just don't get too involved with it." And before long, they're cold and indifferent. I read a story about this young girl. She got saved. And I mean, she got saved. And she was happy because she got saved. And she was running around the house just rejoicing in what God had done in her life. And she was excited. She was just enjoying what God was doing. She was reading her Bible and she was humming and singing songs. And she was just excited about what God had done. And Grandpa saw her running around and said, "You need to quit that. You're saved now. You're a member of the church. You don't need to be acting that way." She said she went out to the barn that afternoon and she crawled up there and they had an old long-nosed mule. We got two burros in our pastures above us and they have zero personality. You don't ever see no expression on them dumb animals. And they are dumb animals. They're just dumb animals. Just everywhere they go. Sort of like y'all. I mean, no, sorry. No, but that girl, she was excited, and then Grandpa burst her bubble. "You can't act that way. You're saved." She went out there and looked at that old mule and scratched his old head and says, "Don't worry about it. You must have the same religion Grandpa's got." You know why we're, and I hate to even use this word, but it's the only thing I can use. I know the church isn't losing. But you know why we're losing? There's no joy in people today. We'll talk about, and I'm guilty. I catch myself talking about this or that and this or that. Go to Walmart and hear everybody talk about everybody else. And Facebook and hear them gossip about everybody else. And Instagram gossip about this and this or that, gossip about that. And I had a person tell me one time that, and if you got Facebook, just ignore me. That's what most people do. But, "Well, preacher, that's a great tool. You can tell people about the Lord." I said, "Oh, good. Do you do that?" I couldn't go back and check them, but I about guarantee you all about all the, what they call that when you do, I better not ask y'all. I'll incriminate somebody. I think they call it posting. I don't know. I'm ignorant when it comes to that stuff. If we went back and pulled all your posting, are you using your Facebook plan or your Instagram or your chat this or whatever it is? Are you really every time you're doing something lifting up the Lord? Can I get a witness? I don't know what you're doing. But what I'm saying this evening, though, I do believe with all my heart, is we today have lost ground because there is no place like we see in Nehemiah chapter 8 back in our lives. We've got beat down. We've got discouraged. We've lost sight of what we've got. Why? I believe a lot of it because we're not spending time with the one that wrote the book. Joy. Gain joy. We're going to look, we'll finish up on joy, but where's our joy when it comes to the Word of God? Let's look at some things here in Nehemiah chapter 8 of what the Word of God does here in Nehemiah chapter 8, and then we'll close out here in just a moment. The first thing I see in verse number 9 of Nehemiah chapter 8, look back with me here. The Bible says here in verse number 9, it says, in Nehemiah, which is the Cherethath and Ezra, the priests, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the people, unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord, or the words of the law. You know what the Word of God does? Me and Brother Sam Bellini used to talk about this. The Word of God is the most offensive book that I've ever read. It's offensive. It'll tear you to pieces. But then it'll build you right back up. These folks, after all the work of what had taken place, and now they've called for the book, and the book's open, and they begin to read, they begin to weep. Why? Because the Word of God will bring conviction in your heart as you read this book. What's this book about? It's about the Lord and our relationship with the Lord. And as we read this book, it's a mirror. And as you look into this mirror and you really see not what you think you look like. You ever look back at a picture and you think, is that me? Do I really look like that? I can't believe that's me. When you read this book, read the book. When you walk with the Lord through the Scriptures, He's talking to you. It'll begin to show you who you are. And as the book was open, as the Word of God was read, these people began to weep because of the conviction it brought to their hearts. Where's that in our day? Where's that in my life? Where is it when we read this book, we let it have such an effect in our heart that we begin to weep because of the pain of what we see ourselves in the eyes of God? Conviction is what the book brought. Again, we looked a week or two ago, we looked at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, where the Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what this book does. And as you begin to read, as it begins to cut away all this flesh and all this world, it begins to expose what we really are. And we see here that it brings in conviction. Oh, as you read, let God show you who you are and who He is. So first of all, I see the Word of God here in Nehemiah chapter 8 brought conviction. But then I see not only does it bring conviction, and I believe that's where it's got to start. Second of all, I see God doing something great. Look at verse number 10. After they begin to weep, after they begin to notice the power of the Word of God, notice verse number 10 says, then He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not only does the Word of God bring conviction, but here I see God moving from a place of condemnation into a place of redemption and healing and forgiveness. There they are weeping. Here they are crying. And here through the Word of God they say, don't weep, don't cry. The joy of the Lord. Oh, we need that joy as we read the Word of God. We need to understand, yes, it's offensive. Yes, it begins to show me that I'm a sinner and lost and dying and on my way to hell. But thank God the book didn't end right there. But God. Oh, we ought to get back to thanking God who we see Him in this book. So we see there they go from conviction to a place of rejoicing. Third of all, this afternoon, I see here in Nehemiah chapter 8, not only do I see the convicting hand of God through the Word, and then I also see the healing part of God as He begins to show them that we have strength in the Lord. Not of ourselves, but of the Lord. Thirdly, this afternoon, I see here in verse number 14, The Bible says, and they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth into the mountain and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches. And we won't read all that, but we read it earlier. But what I see here is, and I thought about something my mama used to tell me about, remember who you are. Do you know God made you just like He made you? He wants you to be you. Don't be somebody else. The Bible still says them comparing themselves among themselves is not wise. You're great. I used to find joy. I don't get to go to a lot of preaching meetings now, but I used to, when I was in Bible college and I was going about every night to preaching somewhere, I'd sit there and listen, especially at preachers' fellowships. They'd call preachers off the floor, especially younger preachers. And I'd sit there and I'd say, I know who he's been listening to. They try to imitate. And boy, I love old preachers. Praise the Lord. You know me, I love Lester Roloff. One of my heroes of faith. I'll never be able to preach like Lester Roloff. But guess what? God didn't call me to preach like Lester Roloff. You know who God called me to be? Me. You know who God called you to be? You. You know what God wants you to do? Be you serving the Lord. And that's what I see here. Not only did the Word of God bring conviction, not only did the Word of God pour in that oil and bring back the joy, but here it brought some identity back to who they are. And I believe we've lost sight of who we are. We're not some whipped dog. We're not some second class nobodies. Hey, I'm a child of the King this evening. I've been bought with the most precious thing that you could ever be bought with, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to get back to the place that we can stand with our, not pride. Now, I know arrogance, you can jump in there and pride can get in the way. Hey, but there's still that we ought to be able to square ourselves up, quote the Word of God without any disarray, and thank God that you got something you can stand upon that'll never fall. Let me ask you something. Who are you? I'm an American. Guess what? I didn't do one thing except be born here to be American. And I enjoy every benefit of being an American. But this afternoon, I got a birth line all the way to the King of Kings. Do you remember who you are? You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. There's power in the Word of God. Stand upon it. Live by it. I see them going. And if you look again, as we read here, they had not done what we just read there about the building of the booths. Why? Because they had not been in the book. They didn't know to do that. But now, through the reading of the Word of God and through conviction and through healing, they begin to see, wait a minute, we're not where we need to be. Guess what they did? We don't need that. Let's chunk it. Oh, there's got to be a mistake. We don't do it that way no more. Oh, there's a better way. That's too much work to go up on the mountain and cut all them tree limbs. You don't really have to do that. Well, we don't have to do that because this is the nation of Israel, not us. This is about those feast days. What was those feast days for? It's about building that relationship back between man and God. Buddy, I long for that relationship to be drawn back into our church and our families and our lives, that we'll have the joy of the Lord as our strength. So I see here they find identity of who they are. Verses 12, look back there, it says, after hearing the Word of God, after the convicting power of God, after we see God tendering to their hearts to soothe the pain of conviction. Verse number 12 says, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Look at verse number 15. And they that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mountain, fetch olive branches. What are they doing? They're doing something. The Word of God ought to bring something into our life that we realize, hey, I can't sit here no more. As Brother Michael preached this morning, oh, what a tremendous thought. again, I don't talk bad about anybody that got down out of that building before it fell up there. And out of all those elevators, what do you say, 99 elevators? Was it three or four stairwells? Three stairwells, whatever it was. Only one of them was passable. What was it, 14 people got down that one? 14 out of how many thousand that died that day? Thank God you're saved this evening. But realize there's a multitude around about us that are on their way to hell. And we're just, can't wait till God gets back. Woo, can't wait, it's going to be great. Have we lost sight of the fact that we have no tears anymore for the lost? Where's our compassion? Where's our sorrow? Who do we think we are? It's only by the grace of God I am what I am. I don't want to lose sight that I'm just fortunate that somebody told me the truth. Thank God God put conviction in my heart and I got saved. Think about all the people that we come across daily. In one day's time, the people that we have contact with that probably aren't going to heaven, are we telling them? They heard the Word of God and it brought conviction. The Word of God brought healing. The Word of God brought direction. And then they did something. That's the purpose of the Word of God. And then last of all, this evening, this will take just a few minutes to go through this, but I want you to see it. Again, verse number 10 talks. It says, there be ye sorrow, the latter part, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy. What is joy? Now again, many times we get misguided. We think about being happy. Well, I'll be happy when all this is done, or I'll be happy when I'm over this, or I'll be happy. Happiness is not what we're talking about. Happiness is here and then gone. Happenings has to do with happenings. But there's something that when you truly are saved and you truly are walking with the Lord, God will put a joy in the depths of your heart, that peace that passeth all understanding. When everything's going crazy, does it hurt? Sure it does. When your body has sickness, does it hurt? Sure it does. When those storms of life come upon you, does it hurt? Sure it does. But thank God this evening, there's an anchor down in the depths of my heart that I got this evening in God Himself, and it brings joy to my heart that I know that I'm in the hand of God, and nothing this world can do can take that away from me. That's the joy. Where's our joy? They had a joy that's found in God when they opened that book. And as the Word of... That's what the Bible should mean to us. We ought to every day dive in the Word of God, walking with God to see where we're at, to see if we're walking right and talking right, if we're doing right. And then just have that joy of knowing that God is alive inside of us. Where's that joy? Oh, we got so many churches today that have all this promotional stuff that builds the flesh up. You know how long that lasts? Till the air runs out of the balloon. It's just like blowing up a balloon. And letting her go. It makes a lot of noise and flies for a minute, but she's running out of gas really fast. Oh, I'm thankful this seed in my flesh ain't what I'm running on. I'm glad this seed and there's something that's inside of me that's bigger than me. And it's the joy of the Lord. This evening, the Bible, the Word of God, does it bring joy? Let me ask you something. How many days can you go without eating? How many times have you ate today? How many cups of coffee have I had today? 6 cups of coffee today. 2 of them were decaf because that's the only thing that was left in the kitchen. So they don't count. Guess what? I'll wake up in the morning, going to drink another cup of coffee. Some of you, not me, some of you will pay $5 for a cup at Starbucks. Not me, but some of you. Help yourself, get all you can. Preacher, ever been to Starbucks? Yeah, because somebody gave me a gift card. I like my coffee. What kind do you drink? whatever she bought. It's black and hot. I like it. I'm getting more like my grandpa. It's got to get hotter and hotter and hotter. Used to be about a minute and a half to microwave. It will make a pot and don't drink at all. We don't throw that stuff out. No, sir. Next morning, I pour a cup, put it in the microwave. It's good. They used to be about a minute, minute and a half was good. Now I got to go about two and a half. I want it hot. But I'm saying, got to have my this, I got to have my that. I'm going to eat my breakfast, my lunch, my snacks, my this, and I got to have my ice cream before I go to bed, and I got to do this, and got to watch my TV program. Oh, can't do that. I got this to go do. Let me ask you something. Don't raise your hand. How long have you gone without even touching the Word of God? How long have you gone without really sitting down and talking to the Lord? I'm not saying read five chapters a day. I don't go that way no more. If you set out to read five chapters a day, help yourself. I'd rather read one word and let God do something in my life with that one word than read five chapters just to read five chapters and say, I read five chapters. It's not about the quantity of what you read, but the quality of what you read. The joy of it. How long has it been since you really just had a spell as you read your Bible? How long has it been since you just felt God just slip up beside of you and start pointing his finger at the scriptures and it came alive? Preacher, I ain't never had that. You're missing out. How do you get that, preacher? Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep digging. Keep digging. Keep looking. Keep looking. Keep talking. He'll show up. Joy. Joy comes through the experience of God's forgiveness in their life. Boy, didn't you find joy? Isn't there joy in my life today? Preacher, are you a sinner? Paul said he was the chiefest. I'll argue. We're all sinners. You know what brings joy to this old preacher? As God looked at me and he saw me in my state, they sung this morning, there was a cross. He died for my sins. And I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I believed in the workings of God and God lives within inside of me. And this evening I got joy unspeakable down in the depths of my heart. Why? Because I've been forgiven, not by man, but I've been forgiven by God. And if you're saved this evening, you've been forgiven. And guess what? If you're lost, you've been forgiven too. You just ain't accepted it. Forgiveness brings joy. Joy comes from a relationship with God. And joy comes up. You ever had a job you hated? Everybody's like, yeah, I got one now probably. I've had a job two or three times in my life that it was hard to get up out of bed. But I knew I had to go to work while because I had a family that needed a paycheck to pay the rent or the power bill or the food bill, so I went anyway. It wasn't much joy in going to that place. I endured the whole time I was there. But have you ever had a job that you enjoyed going to? Man, the people you were around were great. You had a relationship with them. It was the work was just not so tiresome. It wasn't laborsome. It wasn't like that other place. You really enjoyed going. Isn't there a big difference in that? You know what brings joy? It's when my life is walking according to the Word of God and I'm walking where God wants me to walk, doing what God wants me to do, obeying what God tells me to do. That's joy. So joy this evening. Let me run through a few scriptures and give you some ground for the thoughts of joy. Let me read these things to you. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. What happened? What brought that joy? Faithfulness brings joy. Matthew 25:23 says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You want joy tonight? Faithfulness. Doing daily, every day, hitting the nail on top of the right head every day. That's joy. Joy. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16 says this, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word of God, when it becomes personal, when you're eating the book, when you're in tune with the book, it'll bring joy. Psalms 32:11 says this, Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. What brings joy? When you know you're right with God, it'll bring joy. Psalms 126, verse number 3 through 6 says, The Lord hath done great things for us. I can't argue with that one bit. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that go forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what brings joy? When you're actively participating in the work of God. When you're that glove and God puts his hand inside of you, and you're used of God. Well, preacher, I can't sing. Don't sing then. What can you do for God? Don't look at everything you can't do. Do what you can do. And let God use you. That'll bring joy. John chapter 16, verse 24 says, Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Boy, isn't it joyful when God answers prayer? Oh, how it brings it to life. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The presence of the Lord should bring joy. Hey, Grandma and Grandpa, don't it bring joy when them grand youngins come in? Why? Because they're with you. They love you and you love them. If you can find joy in a grand youngin, how much joy is there when the Lord Himself shows up? His presence. Joy. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know what brings joy? Seeing the truth that worked in you, working in your wife, that's worked in her, working in your children, that's working in your grandchildren, that's working in your neighbor, that's working in your coworker. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Joy. Where does that joy come from? I believe Nehemiah chapter 8 is a very joyful chapter. The book was opened, they stood, and they heard, and they responded, and they had joy. I ask you this evening, you got the religion of a mule, or you got the joy of the Lord? You look in the mirror and see what you see. It's not about putting a smile on your face every day. You got problems. I got problems. But guess what? I got something bigger than my problems. And He sure is faithful. The Word of God. Let's stand together this evening.